This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture with me, T. Xiaoyik and Lim Soo Ann. Today we have one story for you, and it's regarding the recent announcement by the Home Minister that under a new act that will be implemented later this year, drug users in Malaysia will not be sent to prison, but rather to rehabilitation and treatment centres. But is this really true? Is Malaysia decriminalising all drugs for personal use? So we'll be speaking to a drug policy reform advocate to find out more about that.
Yes, so we want to know what you think about this as well. You know, tell us, and we have a poll going on Twitter for you to tell us which approach would be better to tackle drug abuse. Would it be sending people to rehab and treatment centres or a prison sentence? You can take that poll on Twitter at BFM Radio. You can also tweet us your thoughts or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yep. So, on the 19th of February, Home Minister Hamza Zainuddin said that the proposed Drug and Substance Abuse Act will be replacing the Drug Dependence Treatment and Rehabilitation Act of 1983, and this will be done later this year. So, the minister said that the change in approach when it comes to dealing with drug abusers and addicts, meaning using rehab and treatment programs instead of prison sentences, is aimed at sort of getting rid of the stigma that still is within society when it comes to the drug use and abuse. Mm.
Yeah, so in that Facebook Live session, the minister also said, and I quote, "Besides that, it will also facilitate their reintegration into the community and give them a second chance." Now, Hamza added that the theme "Lebih Baik Cegah" or "Prevention is Better" was chosen for this year's National Anti-Drugs Day celebration to remind everybody to play a proactive role in matters relating to drugs to protect themselves and individuals under their care.
Apart from that, National Anti-Drug Agency's Director General Sutekno Ahmad Belon said that the agency is very concerned with the current challenges of drug abuse and the increase in abuse of synthetic drugs, as well as the emergence of new drugs. He said that drug trafficking syndicates are using technological developments for the wrong purpose, and this should be taken into account when formulating strategies to address drug problems.
Mm. So, but what does all of this mean exactly? This replacing the Drug Dependence Treatment and Rehabilitation Act 1983 with the Drug and Substance Abuse Act mean? Does that mean, the decriminalisation of all drugs for personal use? And then, where does the Dangerous Drug Act of 1952 fit into all of this? So in a bit, we will be talking to Samantha Chong, who's a lawyer and drug policy reform advocate. But let's first take a look at why we should be moving towards this in the first place, moving towards decriminalising all drugs for personal use.
So speaking of that, it was actually just a couple of weeks ago on Live and Learn that our colleague Dashran Johan did explore this very question with Samantha Chong. So when asked if the so-called war on drugs has been successful, here's what Samantha had to say.
Despite 40 years of zero tolerance global drug campaign, you will still see that drug remain a problem now. You can look at AADK's statistics. Mm-hmm. We can see the arrests of people who use drugs has increased steadily. And we need to understand that the global drug market is one of the primary revenue source for organized crime. And illicit drugs industry now accounts for estimate about $320 billion annually, second behind counterfeit products. So the drug markets cannot just exist on their own, but it has to tie down with the cartel, the corruptions of government offices, warlords in certain countries that use drugs to fund their activities. It is not a simple issue that when you arrest the people who bring in drugs, you will stop drug problems. Because we, in drug policy, we have something called balloon effect. So when policymakers and law enforcement crack down on certain drug productions country or certain area, these syndicates and cartels, they just move to another area. For example, from Afghanistan to the Golden Triangle. So when you are hard on Golden Triangle, they move back to Afghanistan. It doesn't stop the drug supplier because it is not a comprehensive strategy to deal with drug issues. Of course, they say if you stop the supply, you won't have demand. But the thing is, if you do nothing on the demand, we will never solve these issues. Looking back to the pattern in Malaysia, what is the effect of war on drugs in Malaysia? So as at December 2019, 25 out of 38 prisons in this country are overpopulated. And our capacity is 52,850. And now we have, in December 2019, we have 74,000.
Right.
So in 2017, 56% of the inmates in the prisons are incarcerated because of non-violent drug-related offense. I'm not talking about drug trafficking, but drug use and low-level possessions. And in 2018, 164,914 people were arrested for drug-related offenses. And looking back at in the context of COVID-19, we have the latest statistic. So 53,357 inmates was tested and 16,662 are positive. So if you have overpopulated prisons, you will tend to have infectious diseases spreading among the inmates to the warden, from the warden to their families and into the communities. So when we talk about war on drugs, we are talking about public health as well. And I would say war on drugs in Malaysia has caused us a lot in terms of people losing their job because of criminal records and people who end up having infectious diseases, for example, latent TB and COVID-19.
So in that show, Samantha also discussed the importance of decriminalizing all drugs for personal use.
Addiction is a medical problem that needs medical intervention. So prison departments, they are not trained to deal with medical issues and they do not have the expertise or resources to deal with it. So 60% of 70,000 people, inmates that were incarcerated for using drugs, it is expected that 90% of them will relapse and use drugs again. And a part of that, once you are incarcerated, you will carry a criminal record. So that will mean that a proper and stable employment is almost impossible. And we all know that without stable incomes, people can be drawn to depressions, to anxiety, and this will push them closer to drug use as a form to escape from the emotional pain they are facing. So I would say that incarcerations actually has created more problems when we deal with drugs issues.
So those were some clips from a show with Samantha Chong, a lawyer and drug policy reform advocate. And there was an episode of a new ongoing series on Live and Learn titled What If Malaysia? So if you'd like to listen to that full episode with Samantha, you can search for What If Malaysia Decriminalized All Drugs for Personal Use. But we'll be continuing our show after a short break where we will actually catch up with Samantha again. We'll get her on the line and we'll find out what this new act to replace the current Drug Abuse Act, what it will look like and what does it actually mean when it comes to tackling the drug problem in Malaysia. If you have any thoughts, do tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a poll running, Sue, maybe you'd like to just quickly recap that poll question.
That's right. So on our poll, we referred to that new act which will be implemented later this year, and it's meant to send drug users to rehabilitation and treatment centres instead of prison. So we wanted to see what you think, which approach would be better to tackle drug abuse. Your options are rehab and treatment centres or prison sentence. You can take that poll on Twitter at BFM Radio.
All right. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We'll go for a quick break now, but do stay tuned to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm T. Xiao Ik with Lim Soo Ann. Now, before the break, we talked about Home Minister Hamza Zainuddin's recent announcement that a new Drug and Substance Abuse Act will be replacing the Drug Dependence Treatment and Rehabilitation Act of 1983 later this year. So the minister said that with the implementation of the new act, drug abusers and addicts will no longer be sent to prison, but rather to rehab and treatment centres.
Yes, so we want to check, is this really really true, and is replacing the Problematic Drug Dependence Treatment and Rehabilitation Act enough? So to help us answer this and more, joining us on the line right now is Samantha Chong, human rights lawyer and a drug policy reform advocate. So welcome to the show, Samantha. First, can you break down what exactly is the Drug Dependence Treatment and Rehabilitation Act 1983?
So this Drug Dependent Treatment Act, let's call it the 1983 Act, it is a law enacted specifically for the rehabilitations and treatments for drug dependent. It is enacted in the 80s, and the ministry tasked to oversee this law is actually the Home Ministry. So this 1983 Act actually provides for how treatments and rehabilitations program can be run. So what we know by Pusat Serenti or Compulsory Rehabilitation Center is made under this Act. So if a person who used drug was arrested, he can be referred to a magistrate. And upon the evaluations of a medical practitioner, this person can be sent to a compulsory rehab center for up to 2 years. And it also regulates how a person can be treated. One of the features I see in this act is that it actually kind of criminalizes people who use who seek treatment. Actually, under this law, any persons who seek medical treatment at a medical practitioner, they will have to be reported by the doctor to the authorities. And once they are reported, they will be registered as criminal.
So, Samantha, what were your initial thoughts when you heard that this act will be replaced by a new one called the Drug and Substance Abuse Act?
So my first initial thought was that when the ministers say they will stop sending people to the prison, but they'll send them to rehab instead, whether this rehab or treatment is mandatory. Because if it is mandatory, it won't be so much different from prison. And if you look at statistics, I try to look up a statistic, I can only find the one in 2015. Most people that was arrested for drug-related offense are actually made under the Dangerous Drug Act 1952. Only about 1.39% of people in 2015 were detained under the Drug Dependent 1983 Act. So if they just replace this act without reviewing Dangerous Drug Act, my opinion, my first thought is that it won't make much of a difference, because police will still arrest people who use drugs under the Dangerous Drug Act.
So Home Minister Hamza Zainuddin said that with this new act, drug users will not be sent to prison anymore, but to rehab and treatment programs. Now, there are some who think that this means Malaysia is decriminalizing all drugs for personal use. But can you clarify this for us?
To decriminalize drug use and low-level possessions, it is actually, you need to deal with Dangerous Drug Act 1952. Because this 1952 Act is the very same law that criminalized any drug use or possession. So by just touching on the 1983 Act, it won't make much a difference. If you look back in 2010, actually, as an extension of Ministry of Health-led Harm Reduction Program, ADK, the National Anti-Drug Agency, they did transform compulsory rehab center to voluntary evidence-based treatment. So along with social support and the Malaysian Cure and Care clinics. But they see a lot of good results. People who are treated in voluntary treatments tends to adhere to treatment longer. And the rate of relapse is not as bad as the compulsory rehab center. So we do see improvement, but why people still get arrested? Because they still have the 1952 Act. As long as we don't change the law, the police can still make arrests. And that will actually defeat the whole purpose. You need to change both law, in my opinion.
Okay, but is the move to replace the Drug Dependence Act 1983 with the Drug and Substance Abuse Act at least a step in the right direction?
I think it's definitely a positive step that the people who have drug dependence problem is acknowledged as people who need medical treatment and not jail time or punishment. Just that for practical reason, the review need to be comprehensive. so that we don't repeat a mistake of a few countries whereby they stop sending people to prison, send people to rehab, but end up more people will end up in compulsory rehab center that doesn't really bring a lot of benefit to them. Because you should also ask that what kind of treatments are you providing? Are you providing with cold turkey method? Are you just ask them to march kawat, or are you ask them to do more hard labor so that they can be diverted from drug use? We all know that most people who experiment with drugs, they will not get addicted. But why people are addicted to drugs? Because there can be a lot of other conditions, for example, trauma, mental illnesses, depressions, anxiety, bipolar. As long as we don't address that, people who develop addictions will keep on using drugs. If you look at the AADK's annual reports, they will always highlight a reason why people started to use drugs, but there's no research into why people are addicted and they keep using drugs. I believe it is a very complex matter, and you need to dig deep inside as to why people are addicted. I saw a tweet this morning. There was this lady, she said she has quit using crystal meth for 1 year now after she broke up with an abusive ex. So you see, here, she knows that using meth is wrong. But in her circumstances, she used crystal meth to escape emotional pain. I mean, we can take her out from that abusive environment that she might be suffering from domestic violence. Then you can help her to quit drugs and have a healthier lifestyle. I think there's no simple solution to that. And AADK, they play a huge role in dealing with addiction. But I still think that we have to be careful. We need to listen to more stakeholders. We need to listen to people who use drugs and not just, do it on the theory side. Just we need to listen to what they think. I mean, if you just ask AADK to arrest these people, handcuff them, parade them in front of media, it's not going to help them in any way. COVID-19 has, a lot of people has lost their job. Unemployment actually pushed people to desperation, and they will try to get up from anxiety or depression they are feeling. Then they may use drugs. So do we address the drug problem by giving them jobs, giving them support, or by arresting them and putting them into jail? I think it is not just about reviewing one law. We need to look at the whole system and follow science, what actually works and not what perception based, what we think will work. We have to follow the science.
So you mentioned mandatory or compulsory rehab a couple of times. Now, can you tell us the difference between mandatory and non-mandatory rehab?
Mandatory will mean that everybody will have to go through a certain program. It kind of bypass, easily, conveniently bypass the idea that not everybody need treatment. For example, a young man was caught using MDMA. He was just using it over the weekend. He is not addicted or doesn't have any dependence symptoms to it. So should we put him into a treatment program when he doesn't need it? So I think it needs to be voluntary based in community. And studies have shown that voluntary based treatments is much better than mandatory when you force someone to go in.
When it comes to the new act, will it be mandatory or non-mandatory rehab? I mean, have you heard anything? Because the reports that have come out seem to lack specific details on this question.
I think this is, I'm a bit worried of this because is there sufficient consultation done on this? I mean, it should be open consultations, getting addiction experts involved. The fact that we don't hear much from it is quite worrying. The last update I got was that they will stop registering people who seek treatment as criminal. And I think that is one positive step, but I do hope that the government can be more transparent in enacting the new law.
So, Samantha, what should the government do moving forward? What reforms do we need?
We need to relook our whole drug policy and drug laws. addiction is a medical problem. We should stop putting police and lawyers or to decide whether who get treatments or who shouldn't get treatment. It is the doctor that should decide. And I think we must always follow the science. For example, cannabis has been taken out from the most stringent control schedule by the Commission of Narcotic Control. Because you need to know that our Dangerous Drug Act is based on international drug control. So when cannabis is internationally recognized as not so dangerous, the risk of addiction is lower than other drugs, it should be review again. I mean, in Malaysia, we presume a person in possession of 200 gram cannabis and above is trafficker. If you look at the market value of cannabis, 200 gram is about 500 ringgit. And to hang somebody for just 500 ringgit value of cannabis, I think it's a bit outrageous, and the law need to be updated according to science. And we need to stop doing things that doesn't work. War on drug is a mistake and is a very expensive mistake. So if you ask me the way to go, I would say that stop war on drugs. Let's follow the science.
All right. Thank you so much, Samantha. That was Samantha Chong, human rights lawyer and drug policy reform advocate. And she was speaking to us about the new Drug and Substance Abuse Act that is aimed at replacing the Drug Dependence Treatment and Rehabilitation Act of 1983.
Yeah, and we wanted you to weigh in on this topic as well. So we had a poll on Twitter asking you which approach you think would be better to tackle drug abuse. And overwhelmingly, almost 93% of you say that rehab and treatment centers are the way to go, while 7% of you still think that we should hand out prison sentences to drug users. We also have a couple of comments from listeners. We have Gurprit Singh saying that punitive justice does not work. That said, reformative justice could only work if we are able to reintroduce the person into society and without discrimination, so we have to give him or her a second chance. Mm. And that also means that the system must not be abused as people with means can bribe. For example, we also have infamous Sean Sharif tweeting us saying that drugs with calming properties and ability to reduce pain should be used in medical settings. He questions if people know what it's like to continue living with pain levels hitting above 10 on daily basis. And I guess this is especially for people with chronic diseases who have chronic pain,
That's right. You know, Samantha brought up a lot of very important points, and she re-emphasized, she revisited the points that Dashrin had covered with her on the previous Live and Learn show about, you know, how the war on drugs doesn't work, the punitive approach, as our Twitter follower Gurprit Singh also said that rehabilitation is a medically indicated because drug use and addiction is a medical condition. So if you use a scientific, evidence-based approach, which is to treat the addiction, mm-hmm. then you're helping the person to resolve that issue psychologically, physiologically, physically, and you can return that person to society, right?
That's right. And, you know, this is a conversation that has been had multiple times and a lot more these days, especially online. You see people engaging on this topic. So hopefully, you know, there is some change that will happen, that this is a first step. And I think it's worth re-emphasizing that, just like Samantha mentioned in the interview, this new act does not mean that Malaysia has to decriminalize all drugs for personal use. You know, it is an important step to replace the Drug Dependence Treatment and Rehabilitation Act of 1983. But more often than not, people get thrown in prison because of the other act, which is the Dangerous Drug Act 1952. Mm. And that, I guess, is the more important act that needs serious reviewing and reform.
Yes. And it's also important to keep in mind what Samantha said about mandatory rehab. Studies have shown that mandatory rehab, much like imprisonment, does not work. So you cannot force people into rehab. Rehab should be in a voluntary basis. And what you do in the rehab center is really important as well. Again, coming back to medicine and evidence-based mm-hmm. rehab. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on the Perikatan administration's move on this, you know, whether this will be a meaningful step towards drug policy reform. But on that note, tomorrow marks 1 year since Langkah Sheraton and the fall of the Pakatan Harapan government. So under the Perikatan-led government, political instability remains as the country battles the COVID-19 pandemic, and we are also currently under a state of emergency. So BFM will be having station-wide programming to discuss and analyse the implications that Langkah Sheraton has had on the country. So be sure to tune in to us tomorrow, the 23rd of February, throughout the day. That's all the time that we have for the show today. Continue to share your thoughts with us. Tweet us at BFM Radio and WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. If you'd like to get in touch with the Bigger Picture team, check us out on Facebook. Our page is BFM The Bigger Picture. You can drop us a message there. Also download our podcast, bfm.my/dailydigest. It's also on our BFM app and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Stay tuned, because after the a few messages, songs and the 3 o'clock news, Juliet Jacobs will be on Earth Matters, and it will be the second part of the Forest Files findings, and she will be speaking to the co-founder and co-editor of Makaranga.org, as well as Siti Shaliza Mustafa, senior manager of the Malaysian Timber Certification Council, to discuss whether sustainable logging is sustainable. So stay tuned for that. You've been listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.